If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's BT and Sal on The Fan.
LeBron is clock, produce his job. They wanna be here, I want the
Salicata live at the Javits Center here at Fanatics Fest, talking New York sports with you. It has been a chaotic day, but a fun day. Great to meet so many diehard New York sports fans and listeners of WFAN, so we appreciate them all coming out. If you have the opportunity this weekend, you should come check it out. It is a fantastic time. Way back at 10 a.m. BT, we started the show talking about the Mets and not who threw out the first pitch yesterday, but the fact that they blew that game yesterday. And a lot of fans feel like this is the end. This is the, you know, nail in the Mets coffin this season. There are reasons to believe that. For me, I break it down into two ways when I think about this Mets team. One, I'm not giving up on the season yet, even after that crushing loss. Just two games back of the Braves. And the main reason is because this team, anytime we've written them off, left them for dead this year, they have responded. 0-5 to start, 11 games under 500. It has felt at times like the season was over, and they have responded. So I'm still going to say that they can respond, maybe even by sweeping the Marlins this week. But big picture, if you ask me, do I believe that they're going to be a playoff team? At my core, I don't believe in their core that they could handle the pressure, because they haven't proven to be able to handle that pressure, whether you date back to 2022 and how they, you know, got swept by the Braves, blew that division. That was their division to win, and they cost themselves by not winning a game. Then they folded in the postseason. Last year, we know what happened. And even this year, when there was any kind of pressure on them to start, they failed. When they started to have success, it was because the pressure was off. Well, now the pressure's back on. They're expected to get one of those spots, or at least compete for one of those spots. And I don't believe that this core group, and then you look at Pete and his walk year with all the pressure he's dealt with and his numbers in clutch situations, they've been awful. At my core, I don't believe that their core can thrive under pressure.
I don't either, but I got news for the Mets core and the rest of the Mets. I mean, eventually that pressure is going to resurface. I mean, so that, yes, they have shown the ability to regenerate from 11 under 500 and Lindor hitting 070 in April and all the other things that we've discussed since the start of the season, and they have found themselves in the meaningful part of the conversation because of that resilience. But I think, you know, I think that they play a lot better when the pressure's off. It's almost like they exhale. But let's say that they recover this weekend and they sweep them. Like, eventually, the pressure returns. It's a pennant race. It's New York. It's the Mets. Like, they can't play this. They don't. This anonymous existence. It's not a real thing. So eventually, they're going to have to play with pressure.
Right.
See, hope is a really interesting thing. I mean, in every aspect of life, but right, pertaining to sports, hope equals fuel. Otherwise, why would jet tickets hold, you know, why would they keep giving their credit card? Yeah, yeah, this could be the year, this could be the year. You know, why would Met fans, you know, this be the year? All right, here's a couple thousand season tickets, whatever. Hope equals fuel. But I think hope also equals, you know, a lot of things that lead us to being either delusional or overly optimistic without merit. And what does all that mean? Let me boil it down to this. If the Mets, you take their same exact circumstances, same exact roster, and you put the Mets in Detroit, or you put the Mets in Oakland, or you put the Mets in Minnesota, or you put the Mets down in St. Pete, Tampa, like, the reason why there's still an elevation of what the Mets could be for some, it's because it's the Mets, and they're our team. But my opinion, they're just not good enough.
Right.
They're just not.
And by design. Like, this is not supposed to be year. This is not last year. Well, last year, there was supposed to be a team. They were built to go contend, to compete for a World Series. Now, you could say that you didn't believe that they were going to be, but they were built to be a team that was legitimate with Scherzer, with Verlander, to be competing to win a World Series. This year, they were not. And that is another reason why, when you look at what the Padres and Diamondbacks have done, it feels more legitimate, because those teams were built to be good this year. What the Braves are starting to do now, that makes it even more difficult because you know that the Mets are not going to have to back in to the postseason. They're going to have to earn it.
Yep.
Are they good enough to earn it from the Padres, Diamondbacks, or Braves, who were all built to be legitimate contending teams, and the Mets were not? Whether it's going in the offseason, they were built to be okay. Mm-hmm. Whether it's at the trade deadline, yeah, they made some incremental improvements. Yeah. They did not go all in. So there is going to be that question, can they be good enough? But I want to see how the Mets respond yet again. This core group going against the Atlanta Braves, same teams, same core group, both, you know, the Braves having a down year. Obviously, the Mets are kind of living up to whatever the expectations could be, but they're going to be battling each other again in all likelihood for one playoff spot. You would assume the Padres and Diamondbacks are going to be okay, the top two. It kind of feels like they're pulling away, and it's going to be the Mets and Braves. And when we've seen these two teams go head-to-head and pressurize spots, everything on the line, it's gone one way. And it's not the favor of the Mets.
I was going to say, that's not a favorable result for the Mets. Historically, though, it doesn't mean that it can't change this year. Now, before the A's series and before, obviously, the Marlins, which gets going this weekend, you and I talked about it. You said you expect and hope 5-1.
Yeah.
I thought 4-2 was more plausible, just given some of the Mets' deficiencies. I don't think, no matter who they play, winning 5-6 to me is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
They're 1-2, which means they got to sweep them to get to the 4-2, which I thought that they would. And right now I'm going to say 3-3, because I don't think that they'll sweep them. But you know what? Not that it would make them, they're not going to stamp them World Series contenders if they sweep the Marlins, but go out this weekend and smack a team that had very few good players to begin with, and the few good players they had or that were traded.
No, they've got to sweep
and win, but not just sweep them, win aggregately, I don't know, 21-9, 24-11. Mop the floor with the Marlins.
If you want to be taken seriously, especially after losing 2 of 3 to the A's, and maybe my 5-1 calculation was not factoring in that the A's have been a much better baseball team. It's still no excuse. Like, it's still the A's coming in, and the Mets had a chance. They're up 5-0 in that game. Like, you got to win that game. So it's a brutal loss. They should have won the series, and it does change things, although the Braves lost yesterday too, so they still remain 2 games back. But that makes me even more frustrated, because if the Mets actually played, you know, a little bit better for the last 2 weeks, they'd be in contention to win the division.
Okay, but why aren't they playing a little bit better? Yeah, well, that's the root of the conversation.
And the big problem is it's been a little bit of everything.
Yes.
The reality is the offense has not done what it did when the Mets were playing at their peak. That's the biggest issue. But yesterday the offense was fine. Well, it was the pitching walking the ballpark.
I'm sorry, Sal. What did I say yesterday? Like, the analogy is, you know, you're in front of a dam and you start to spring these little leaks, and like, all right, well, the offense has been dormant. Let me cover up that hole. Oh,
right.
Starting pitching is starting to get a little. Oh God, the bullpen's not. How many holes can you cover up?
Right.
They really don't do anything exceptionally well.
Right. Their identity should be their offense. And when Brandon Nimmo can't get a hit and looks just totally lost, he's an integral part of their offense. Not to mention Pete Alonso in the clutch. And he has to take it on and on and on. We've gone over it. But that is their identity. If the Mets were going to have success this year, it was going to be because they were going to hit their way into a playoff spot. And then they showed that they were doing that for an extended period where they did hit their way into a playoff spot. Problem is, the other teams got hot. The Mets got colder, and now they're 2 games back, and it's going to be them and the Braves down the stretch of the season. I'm not giving up yet, but ultimately, until proven otherwise, how could you not favor the Braves? BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Cisco is calling from Central Florida. What's up, Cisco?
Hey. How you doing, guys? This is a first-time caller. I wanted to talk about the disgrace first pitch they did yesterday. I think that was something that they should look into to decide whether or not they should fire the person involved in that. And I think I agree with both of you. I think that the Mets will make the playoffs, but the core of this team really needs to go.
Well, I mean, if they make the playoffs, and thanks for the call, Cisco. If they make the playoffs, now I still do believe that a part of what Cisco says is true. Well, we've talked about that. The core of this team needed to change.
Yep.
And I think that it has throughout the course of the season, but it's going to take further steps in the offseason, meaning whether you let Alonso walk, whether you move on from Jeff McNeil, whether you bring in Juan Soto. At some point, the core of this group is going to change and has to change this offseason. Lindor is going to remain here. I'm assuming Nimmo is going to remain here, but what is he? Vientos has emerged as a bat, at least, who could be a core piece. What's Alvarez going to do? The problem is, Cisco said that he doesn't believe in the core and it needs to change, but he also believes the Mets are going to make the postseason. Well, how do those two things add up? If you believe if you don't believe in this core, why would you then think they're going to make the postseason?
Bit of a contradiction. You know, and the thing, too, like when the Mets regain control of their season, think about some of the people who were in the middle of it. Severino might not be back next year.
Right.
Iglesias, good story, good fielder. He's not a 340 hitter. Come on.
Right.
You know, so is he even on the team next year? He might be. I'm not saying he won't be, but, you know, he's bounced around and he's been a middling hitter for a reason.
He's like been out of the big leagues for a while.
True.
Yeah.
I just feel like there was almost overachievement is almost too easy to frame it that way, but I don't know. It didn't. I don't want to say it didn't seem real because you either win or you lose, but it never seemed sustainable. Like, if you tell me that, and whether, you know, the young kids, I just feel like the components that helped spearhead the Met run to get them back, you know, into contention, half these guys might not even be on the team next year.
Right. It's going to be a different look. And, again, that's why I have to remind everybody, like, this is by design with this team. We got caught up when they were playing, like, one of the best teams in baseball from June 7th on for an extended stretch, and you started to get excited about this team. I did, too, and thinking, okay, well, they should be a legitimate playoff team. No excuse not to be. And, by the way, they still shouldn't. Like, there isn't a legit excuse. Just because the Braves are playing a little bit better doesn't mean that the Mets couldn't be a playoff team. If Brandon Nimmo could hit, if Pete Alonso could hit, if some of these guys that were, if Quintana can throw strikes, if some of the trades that they made at the bullpen arms could actually get an out, they would be a playoff team. The problem is they're not doing it. So that's an issue here with this ball club. But, yeah, the way that they were playing gave fans hope, and now it's kind of reverted back and gotten even worse. But they're still right there in the thick of things for a postseason spot. Richard is in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Yeah, give me one.
What's up, Richard?
Sal. Couple things here. Now, you guys use the expression, a guy doesn't age well. Can you imagine in 1927, Babe Ruth hitting 60 homers and the owner of the Yankees says, yeah, we're not going to sign him any further. His body doesn't look like the type that'll age well. Right? Meanwhile, ironically and sadly, Lou Gehrig, built like an iron horse, which he was called.
Right, but Richard, that's not. There's no need to reference the 27 Yankees. Just talk about Pete Alonso. Get to the point.
Pete Alonso, we don't know. There's only one supreme being who can predict how a guy's body is going to age. And we don't know what will happen. All we know is he's a homegrown guy, he's been productive, and we're going to need a first baseman.
No question. That's the point, Richard, and thank you for the call. And your phone is blaring in my ears, which is why I got to cut you off right there. That was too loud.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate the call. He hasn't been producing. That's the problem. If he were producing to the standards that he set himself in 2019 or even close to it, this would be a non-starter.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be having the conversation. He might have already even been locked up for $250 million.
Yeah, and back, you know, listen, part of projecting an athlete's longevity, it's obviously tricky. I mean, nobody thought in, you know, the mid-80s that Mattingly would become such a reduced player.
Right.
Nobody knew what would happen to Doc and Darryl. Nobody knew that Benoit King would blow out his knee, you know, with the Knicks in the 83, I guess that was 83, 84, whatever. Nobody knew that Patrick Ewing, that his lower extremities, whether it was his Achilles or his knees that were barking, you don't always know. But I can look at a player's body and give you a general direction as to whether or not you're going to age well, and I'll give you a couple of examples. Do I think Pete Alonso is going to age well? No. Do I think Anthony Volpe is going to age well? I do. Do I think somebody like Peraza or Cabrera, do I think that they'll age well? I do. They're bouncier. They're just, their body construction is different than somebody like Pete, who's heavy-footed and thick.
And by the way, I don't
know what to tell you. I know Babe Ruth, 1927 example from Babe Ruth. I mean, first of all, the league, you know, the league was all white, and everybody was 5'7". And who the hell knows? I mean, the league was so different.
Yeah.
And Babe Ruth was a freak, and Babe Ruth was the man. But nobody's confusing Pete Alonso with being the man. And he doesn't have a great body, and I don't think he's going to age well. That's it. That's just what I think. I'm sorry.
The issue is production, number one, because it wouldn't matter what the body is if you were producing. And number two, you have to, not we, but we could do it because we're just doing a talk show, but front offices have to project what they think players are going to do moving forward based on a lot of different things.
Of course.
I mean, it's
And of course, Richard, nobody knows what's going to happen. If they knew what was going to happen, there'd never be a bad draft pick ever.
Yeah.
There'd never be a bad signing. Yet bad signings happen all the time. Why? Because teams fail to project the right way. Even if you make the right move, it could go wrong. You don't know.
The human body is completely
unpredictable.
Look at Giancarlo
Stanton.
Oh, you beat me to it. Yeah. That's the exact opposite of what we're talking about. Imagine. Now, listen, I know you didn't think it was a good move when the Yankees got him from the Marlins.
For a different reason.
True. I'll take the L. Contract, decide, all that stuff.
Right.
You looked at Giancarlo Stanton. Not that he was ever a young Barry Bonds or Griffey in the outfield, but you just looked at him as a very loose, a very bouncy, very dynamic, young athlete in his mid-20s. I mean, who the hell would know that by the time he was 30... he couldn't score from second base on a base hit without pulling a hamstring. So it's not always visually, you know, perfect where you look at somebody and you nail it. But generally, body type, like the aesthetics, the optics of a body, generally leads you in the right direction.
The reason why I did not want Stanton wasn't because I thought he was going to break down.
It was because
I thought it was redundant with Aaron Judge. You didn't need another power hitter like that in their lineup. And yet Stanton, all he's done is break down since he's been here. All right, BT and Sal.
Get him over here.
I think we're going to be joined by a very special guest. Should we break in?
Get him over here. There he is.
Look who it is.
We got a legend in the house. Mad Dog, what's happening, buddy?
How's my pal?
Let's get a headset for Mr. Chris Russo over here. WFA and loyalty. This is a treat. This is a treat with Mad Dog. You know how to put those headphones on, Chris. You didn't forget, did you?
Yes, sir.
There he is, everybody.
Did you know he babysat one day for my kids?
I've heard the story. You know what else he said? He said he didn't tip too well.
No, he did.
All those millions, and you give this guy $3?
He lost a million bettings with picks. So I wiped the debt off by having him come up there.
I think I still owe you. You still have that index card. Hey, Doggy, I'm surprised you're doing this appearance. We're not paying you $10,000.
Funny. I had to do first take today. I'll give Sal a couple of minutes. Hey, Mr. Tierney.
You're getting a little loose on first take. You're taking shots at Stephen A. You're taking shots at Team USA.
Yeah, I did.
Do you have any friends on first take?
$2.4 million. Those shots with the freaking USA basket. Do we care about the fact they beat us?
I don't care.
BT, I don't know if you've seen this. Doggy also was in the news recently.
For?
Oh, the whole thing with Manning about the president.
Billy Bean?
Yeah.
Billy Bean, I screwed up that.
I wasn't even going to bring that up, but that's
I did screw that up. You know what happened? I didn't see it in the print.
Yeah.
I just saw it in the thing, so I got the confusing with the spelling. That's my fault, though. I should have confirmed
it. You're transcending not just ESPN first take and all that stuff, a little politics you're crossing.
What's going on? Where is Jimmy Traynor who got me in trouble over there?
What happened with the politics?
I did say that on the Sirius XM, too.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't the first time I had said it, but once Jimmy throws it out to everybody, everybody gets it. I just wanted a little civility when Biden stepped aside from Mr. Trump.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Civility's a good thing.
Did I have to hear he's the worst president of all time? He should have left a long time ago.
And then that
can you let the guy have a half a day where he can walk out with his dignity?
Well, they're still saying that about...
They did not kill Nixon when he got impeached in 1974. Hmm. They didn't kill him. When Lyndon Johnson in 68, when he had that televised address last day in March, Nixon, who ran against it, did not say, thank God, get him out of there. Hmm. I'd like to have a little civility. And that's what my point was. It wasn't a political stance.
I don't disagree with that.
I want to have the guy be a little presidential on both sides.
Amen.
On both sides.
That was my basic point. I like that.
Jimmy blew up with the Jimmy trade.
By the way, they're still saying Carter was the worst president, so he's still getting hit all these years later.
Can we leave Jimmy? Can we let him be in a hospice?
Let him just relax, will
you? He's 95. He's 100 years old.
Doggy, we talked about this yesterday, and I actually texted your former partner. We were talking about the greatness of Judge. We did not see Mantle play. We didn't see Mays play. Where does Judge greatness rank amongst the all-time
greats? Well, he's got to do it a little longer. You know, Mantle did it for a good 12, 14 years. He won all his MVPs. Mays did it for, you know, basically from 51 to 68. Judge has done it from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see it a little longer. And he's, you know, he's a big guy and he's older. So, you know, but Judge, first off, he is the home run king. The idea that 62 home runs, he's the American League champion.
That's right.
That's a joke. Because Bonds' home run should not count.
Attaboy. He's right.
Let's start there first. Number two, he's not going to get to 755. Aaron's the career thing, not Bonds' 762.
There you go.
But he's not going to do that. That's 455 home runs. Was he 31, 32 years of age?
Yeah, 32.
So it's a little too old. But Judge, you know, he's on his way to the Hall of Fame. You know, you love the way he can play his defense. Now, he has help with Soto, but he's got nobody hitting behind him. You know, listen, he's an all-timer. He's a good guy. He's a great Yankee captain. Do I think he's going to be in the mantle? Garrick, Mays. DiMaggio, the Yankees.
Oh, gotcha.
Ruth. I don't know if he's going to get that high. I don't know if he's going to play enough.
What about Jeter if he wins? What if Judge wins?
Yeah, because he hits the homers.
Yeah.
He hits the homers. The other thing about the Yankees, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with Soto. Because Judge is making whatever he's making. And Soto's represented by Boris, who's going to want $600 million. And if you're Steinbrenner, can you pay him that much more than you pay Judge? Maybe he'd do it average salary, and then he'd spread out the last years. The Yankees can't lose him. But it is a little tricky with Judge being your guy at $360 million.
Yeah.
And Soto's going to want Ohtani money.
But
so
I
it's tricky.
I hear you, Chris, and I said that to Sal yesterday as well. By the way, Mad Dog is with us on the show, BT and Sal and all the fans. Great treat having you on, man.
Love, oh, I'd love to do it.
We're big, you know, you've known him forever.
Sal is Twitter. We love Sal. You know that. Hasn't changed.
He hasn't changed.
Falcons will stink again, by the way.
Oh, no. Do that now. Pass rusher, doggy.
That'd be better.
I've been a big fan for a long time. I don't know if you
know.
How do you know that? I never told you. What do you mean?
Yes, I did.
Everybody's a huge fan.
Imitations, and I see the great Dove Kramer over there. Right?
Dove is the best. So, but I look at the old timers, right? And I look at, you know, and growing up, the first thing that the first name I heard was Babe Ruth. My dad, an old Brooklyn Dodgers fan, born in 43, still alive, still healthy.
Oh, really?
Still
okay. Yeah, didn't see
God.
Ruth, but I mean, he was, you know,
he saw pretty much everybody else,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did.
And from the day that I can really recall having somewhat of a conversation, I always heard Willie Mays, the best player that my dad ever saw, and that was good enough for me. So, but what I look at somebody like Judge or even Griffey back in the day, or Trout when he was still healthy, first 5-6 years of his career, there is nobody on this planet, with all due respect, that can tell me that Willie Mays looked better than those guys. Statistical accumulation, there's no way Willie Mays was jumping over fences like Griffey did, or hitting 500-foot bombs like Aaron Judge. Like, let's at least be fair about that.
Fair, but Willie did everything great. He was a great base runner. He was a great fielder. He had the great catch in the 54 World Series.
Dick Wirtz.
Great throw.
Dick Wirtz.
He did hit 660 homers.
Yeah. Didn't hit in the postseason, though.
It did not. We only had a couple chances.
I know, but still.
You know, he had the 62 series against the Yankees. He had the 54 series against the – he did not
73
have
with the Mets against the A's.
Yeah, but that was –
no,
he
I
was
know.
42
just,
years
I
old.
I got you.
You got to give
saying.
Him a break. He should have quit before then.
Yes.
But, you know, listen, my father used to tell me DiMaggio.
Wow.
Now, DiMaggio's a better hitter than Mays. Because DiMaggio's a .325 lifetime hitter, plus he hit in 56 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a better hitter than Mays. And he hit at Yankee Stadium. He hit all those home runs, and it was in left field
yes.
when it was 445 feet.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that in mind, too. But pound for pound, Mays is in the discussion as the greatest player of all time. And he did it for a good 15 years. He won the two MVPs. I'm not sure if I'm going to put Judge. And Trout's falling off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Griffey went to Cincinnati. The last 3 years were not that great.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think, you know, when you're talking about all-time greats, I mean, forget Ruth's the best because he pitched. So you have to remember, I know you're going to tell me that he played before 47, but if you're going to judge it that way, then I can't count anybody before 47. So I don't want to do that. So if I include everybody, I still think Ruth's the all-timer, but Mays pound for pound.
Speaking of all-time greats, did you see who threw out the first pitch yesterday at Citi Field?
Who did?
Are you familiar with the Hawk Tua girl?
Do you know about this?
No, I don't. What happened?
How do you not know about
her? I missed this.
Girl.
What happened?
Oh. I can't.
Now you have to tell them who Hawk Tua is.
There was a young lady who went viral for something. That
would she take her clothes off or something?
No.
Basically describe this kid's in front, so I want to keep it clean. Basically describing an act that adults might do.
Okay.
And this was like she had her 15 minutes of fame and it blew up. This was months ago. Yesterday, the Mets thought it was a good idea to have her throw out the first pitch.
Oh, my God.
What a joke, Chris.
I'm surprised.
You can't do that.
I'm surprised you weren't all over that.
I wasn't. I should have been on. I was doing a TV commercial yesterday. I was busy all day. And I missed it.
Ooh, commercial.
ESPN Bet app.
Okay,
Gotcha.
That's an easy one.
What are we getting?
Look at me breaking down betting things.
You like to bet.
You love the Jets over this year, don't you?
Oh, I love the Jets
some,
over.
Give me some, man. Though.
How much we got?
Let's go, Jets, baby.
I told Dan Patrick.
How much?
10 dimes, Sid. The soda, Sid. Sal, the soda bets that she used to make. You and Giannotti. Giannotti's another one.
Yeah, he owes you still.
Hey, here's a guy that's making millions and he doesn't pay me. Uh-huh. Boomer, where are you? Help me out for crying out loud.
Dougie, we don't pay like we used to. I mean,
yeah, I know about millions. Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah.
That's you.
You two though have done a hell of a job together.
Thanks, Chris. And by the way, Dog, one of the advice I get called him, he's like, what you need to do, you know, listen, it's Brandon's show. Let Brandon.
I did say that. Yeah. And you were here first. Make sure you tread lightly.
And I was like,
and you know, Sal, he's got to come in like a boner.
Yeah, exactly. Dog. In one ear, out the other. I'm here now, baby. This is my show. No, but Doggy, we used to make those family bets, and I had no money. And I'm like, I'll put like $100 here. $100? Yeah, minimum $250. You've kept that price going up and up and up.
I did contribute to their delinquency.
I've heard about this. I got a question for you. So the gummies with the
yes,
mad dog
gummies.
Has become an interesting
thing. Yeah, that's a big
thing.
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, now everybody knows you, but if I just met you now and you weren't like Chris Russo, the famous broadcaster, I might think you're on a gummy now. When you take a gummy.
Oh, I mellow out.
Okay, so it's the exact opposite.
Absolutely. I'm not going on the radio with those things.
No, I know you're not working
that way.
Because
I'll be nuts.
Can you play tennis that way?
No.
Can you play golf that way?
No.
Okay, so you're not. Okay, got it.
You know, I tell you what I did do. I go to Rapid City to play golf with my fat Rob, you know, Chiron, who used to be the priest in the Vatican, used to watch his oil sign.
He used to be the priest.
He's now living in Rapid City. So I went out to Rapid City. I've been there 3 years in a row for a member guest. It's a two-day, three-day tournament.
Oh, nice.
So I went out there this year, and I played terribly out there. So this year, before the 27 holes and the 18 holes on Friday and Saturday, on Thursday, I was toast on Thursday night. I shouldn't say I got little kids here.
Yeah, they don't know.
So but I was toast.
Can you function in a public?
I was at night. Nobody saw me, so I was okay.
Oh boy!
But the next day I played great, and Saturday I played great.
How many did you take? Two.
I was vaping.
What? You vaping now?
What has happened to you?
I'm 65 years old. My wife will kill me.
Do you like sativa? Do you like indigo? Like what?
Whatever they give me, I
take. Oh, jeez, this guy's crazy. I love it.
On the heels.
Anyway, I played well that weekend. That made me feel good.
I got to vape with him.
On the heels of that, you have been able to keep that same passion and energy throughout all these years later. Do you think that the First Take stuff has helped reinvigorate you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Giving you
yes. What do you think? I'm silly.
Well, I mean, you're so passionate when you do the radio stuff.
Second Renaissance. Stephen A. is the reason why people care. I'm not saying they don't care on Sirius, but it's a little different. It gives you power on first. See what you say on First Take provides a forum where everybody catches on to it. What you and I say on the radio, you're dealing with your selective audience.
Right, I hear you.
On First Take, you get in that ESPN wheel where they send it out in clips. They send it here. They send it there. And so you become part of the furniture, and everybody gets a little piece of it.
You still love doing it?
Yeah, I love doing it. Yeah, it's fun. And then I'm in the madabouts. I do those nutty madabouts. So if I do a couple good ones, people, like I killed the USA basketball team.
Yeah, I know.
I got 2.5 million views that damn thing.
You're getting a little lippy with Molly, though. You got to tap the brakes to tread lightly with Molly.
Molly and I are good friends.
People are getting on you for that, though. You're getting a little loud with the women.
Oh really?
I did say that. Yeah, right?
You know, that's another thing.
You ripped that sportscaster.
You can't. Oh, I did.
Yeah, I saw that.
I got mad. People got mad.
Renee Stubbs.
Who just killed that Nadal match with Djokovic.
Easy, big fella.
I don't want to go there again. I did that once before. You are hot stuff, Sal. You know, you follow me more than
I loved you. What do you mean? I grew up listening to you and Mike.
I know that.
I was a crack committee member. I used to call.
And I saw Mike's kid here today, Jack, who's a tight end at Hamilton.
Yes.
He's a good football player.
Hey, you know what he is? Big Falcon fan.
Oh, he's a Falcon fan?
Yes, Jack's got to come say hello. Jack somehow is a Falcons fan. You believe that?
No, Chris.
I like Penix's picks, by the way. I thought that was a good pick.
Yeah. You do?
I did like that. Okay. He's going to be a good player. Yep. I know he had a bad first game, but he's going to be a good player. But anyway, the First Take thing had a lot to do with this renaissance.
So this guy, for those many of you know, because we talk about it, me and Sal on the show here, Sal was with you guys behind the scenes.
When Doggy left us, yes.
Yeah. I left. Yeah.
But I'm saying, did you think...
You and Mike with the overrun. Sorry, BT.
That's okay.
With Shaq and the Suns.
Oh, was that the big fight? Oh, the Suns.
Because I convinced him to take the Suns, and they didn't get to over 50. I think it was 50. Maybe higher.
He got mad again?
Oh, well, but he lost.
Well, how much?
Plenty.
that was one of the big,
One thing about bets, Mike does not like to lose those bets.
Who does?
$20, $100, $50, whatever it is. Yeah. And it wasn't that.
I hear you.
That bothered Mike. Uh-huh. That's a good point. Only he would remember the Suns.
Oh, he knows everything.
I was there. I lived it.
Oh, my God. That was a bad play. And that was on me. Mike hated the pick.
I don't want to.
He hated Phoenix. He didn't like D'Antoni.
I don't think
he's. They brought in Shaq, and he all got ticked off. And then Mike had to bring in the cash. I had to collect for Mike. Oh, that bothered him. That was a bad
Sorry,
one.
BT.
I don't want. Why would you bring that up?
Well, I don't want to embarrass Sal, but, like, I mean, he reveres you. I mean, it's a great thing. So it's not talking out of
school.
I
didn't realize he loved me that much.
Oh, my God. He loves you. So. But when you saw a young Sal, did you think?
Cause yes, he always
he's got that personality.
Always
thought
he had a
transferable.
He always had a chance.
Yeah.
Now he's riding on your coattails right now.
And now the Chernoff's got he's got a real chance.
Oh, right? Now Chernoff, that's true. That was his guy, right? Chernoff. No,
once Chernoff left, he had a chance.
Oh, Chernoff wasn't a big fan.
Well,
I mean, I love Chernoff. I'm kidding, but I don't know if he was a huge fan. No, he fired him. He wasn't a big fan.
Are you doing the 4 hours, 10 to 2?
10 to 2.
5 days a week.
Yes, sir.
That's a long haul. Hours a week.
That is.
It used to be 10 to 1 with a lot more.
So they gave you the extra hour with more money?
Extra hour, yes. I'm just saying, things have changed.
You got to get an aide. Do you have an agent, Sal?
Hey, can you help me? How's Sandy doing?
Not every negotiation is the same.
I'm not sure.
Stop lumping us all together here, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a better contract.
Oh, Mike
used to burn me all the time 40 years ago because he had his contract in there that said nobody could be paid higher than Mike.
Oh, my God.
That's because Mike was a brilliant negotiator, and I had and I wasn't as good then, and Mike did a good job.
Thank you for the heads up.
That was 1988.
40 years ago he put that in? See, but
36 years ago.
Okay, something like that, but usually you put that in when you're a superstar. He wasn't a superstar.
Well, Mike had the Brent experience.
Oh, I got you.
CBS.
That's for the college TV.
So they
CBS,
gave you an extra hour and didn't pay you more money?
Well, no, it's been 10 to 2, I think, for a while now.
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
Okay.
After I think Mike left, they made it 2 to 6.
They made it 2 to 6 after Mike
left. Mike
would
go 1 to 6:30.
And they cut the hour and a half off.
Okay. We could keep you here all day, so I'm bouncing around, though. Do you think the Knicks can win the championship?
No, not with the Celtics. They're too young. Knicks can easily get to a conference final. They would have done it last year.
Ooh.
They would have done it last year if they didn't get all those injuries. They would have beat Indiana in a
100%.
They were so banked up before, Hart out and OG out and everything else. You know, to beat the Celtics, who are going to get better now because they've got over the hump, and so they know what it takes. And with Brown and White and Tatum, who's going to be very annoyed and very motivated to prove that he should have played on an Olympic team.
That was ridiculous.
So he is going to be and Porzingis will be healthier.
Mm-hmm.
That Celtic team, you got to figure the Knicks will lose to the Celtics at the end of the day. You know, Brunson's great. And that was a good move, getting, obviously, Bridges.
Yep.
But Boston's still the best team.
Do you think Alonzo's with the Mets next year?
No, I don't.
Me neither.
Would you bring him back?
I think they're going to make a run at Soto.
I think
they're going to make a run at Soto. I think he'd do that.
Yeah.
Now, they may not because, remember, two owners in the same city.
This is different,
friends,
though, dog.
So,
they need
with Aaron
but
Judge, they
need,
didn't go after Judge.
They might mellow out. But Soto and, remember, Boris and our little pal there, Steve Cohen, have a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And Boris is going to want $600 million, and he won't be intimidated. I could see him making a run there. But I don't know about Alonzo.
And do you think the Yankees will the Yankees used to, which is why the crack committee hating the Yankees, they used to pay way more than everybody else and get all the best players.
I think they'd be careful.
Well, because they didn't even have the highest offer for Judge. Now, he came back, obviously, but what makes us think that the Yankees are going to have the highest offer for Soto? If they are trying to get him on a discount, do you think Soto will take less money to be
a
Yankee?
I don't have the answer for you or not. It depends what the discount is. I mean, the Yankees, all the Yankees, Yankee Stadium, Judge sitting there. That would be a very interesting debate after the baseball. I mean, remember, see if the Yankees win a World Series, that could have some effect on it too.
Could. Let me just say,
I don't think they will, by the way.
Yeah, well, I want to see if Jazz is held. Without Jazz,
what's the story about him?
They don't know yet. I mean,
didn't say anything. Find out tonight when Boone talks to the media.
Yeah, he doesn't need surgery in all probability, but he's probably gonna be out a couple of weeks.
They need him.
And then hopefully, they do need him.
And Holmes, Holmes in a big game is gonna make you nervous.
Yep. He always says that.
I don't trust him.
You just said
Holmes, but he's gonna make you nervous.
He makes you. He worries you. You just said that the Yankees, the Yankees are the Yankees. I'm gonna say this: if the Yankees don't come correct for Juan Soto at 25. And he goes to the Mets, the Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore.
It's a very tricky spot that he's in.
He's
going to pay him double what
it's
he's paying.
It's not tricky.
He's going to pay him double
what it's not tricky.
Double than Judge?
He wants. Yeah, what's. Yes.
Okay.
He's up. Judge was
so you
want
to pay him
ago.
Double what Judge makes?
He's 25.
Okay.
He's going to get it, whether they want to pay him or not. That's what
exactly.
He's gonna
somebody's going to give
somebody,
it to him.
But Soto's got to be careful because, you know, Boris has taken a lot of players to wrong locations. A-Rod is a perfect example.
Yes, yes.
So he's got to be a little careful of taking him to the Kansas City Royals because they offered him the most money.
Yeah.
And then Soto, will he do? He's having a career year. I know he's been great.
Oh, he's great.
Right, but
I'm not worried about him.
But is he going to do that same thing with?
Yes.
With the Mets, where they don't have Judge behind
them.
Well,
I mean, I understand, but you know, he's a great hitter.
Taking
though.
Those walks in a big spot.
Well, he's a great hitter. Yeah. I understand your point. You know, he's surrounded properly.
Does it need to be the guy with Judge? You could take a walk and still get driven in on the Mets, let's say. You got to be that guy to swing the bat.
I understand, but he's not going to go out of that strike zone.
All right, he'll drive us nuts, though. BT, you're going to ask him to sign.
I'm going to get him a picture. Hold on. No,
and I love the Jets to have a good year. And Ian wrote a good book on Rodgers.
You read it already?
I just got it yesterday.
I had him on Wednesday for an hour. I read it.
I'm looking forward to reading
good
that.
Good book. You know, the parental thing is interesting.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's 10 years.
I know.
It's very strange. But I'm telling you, I'm convinced he's going to have a big year. He's a chip-on-your-shoulder quarterback.
Yep.
And he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Don't you think, we were talking about this before, you know, Reddick being holding out or whatever. Don't you think, though, what could separate the Jets from everybody else in the AFC is their defense? Like, their offense could be good. It's not going to be as good as the top teams. But their defense, they could be a top defensive team in a
league. They're going to be a top defensive team anyway. The idea that Reddick's going to make them over the top, they got a good defense. I'm not worried about the Jet defense. To me, the whole story is he's coming off a bad injury. He's 40 years of age. And he didn't play that great as last year in Green Bay. So theoretically, you can say he's had 2 years where he hasn't done a lot. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to bet on a player, and I like their schedule.
Jets schedule that is shoots
easy.
Outside of San Francisco, you got Tennessee. You got some
Patriots and Denver,
yeah.
Those next
yes,
three games.
Yes, correct.
I like the Jets schedule.
I do, too.
I think they're going to have a good year.
One of the things that you know, one of the things that made you guys such a staple, you and Mike, is that you went through, I mean, so many different iterations of front office coaches, like all the different teams, and like your instincts were so not always right, but so many times
you try to get them right.
You were on point. Right now, you look at Shane and Dable, like that dynamic.
I think it's gonna be pretty good.
You think they're here in three
years,
4 years?
I think
like
Dable's
them?
A good coach.
I do too.
And I think Shane, you know, I don't blame him for Barkley.
Nope.
You know, he made a good trade getting the kid from Carolina.
Burns.
Burns, he made a good trade with that.
What about the Daniel Jones contract they gave him?
He had no choice off a big game.
Yeah.
And Evan Neal, everybody loved him coming out of Alabama, so I got to give him a little break. He drafted him, right?
Yes.
I got to give him a little break with that. I think they have a good combination. And I think Mara, barring an absolute unmitigated 3-14 year, I'd be shocked if he doesn't bring him back.
I know, Doggy, you've taken.
And I think they'd be pretty good.
I know,
better.
Pretty good?
Better.
Okay.
Better.
I know you've taken your career to another level. You talked about it with First Take. How difficult was it to leave the fan and leave New York initially?
Hardest decision you ever make in your life. That's a hard call, boy. Yeah, I was a hard call. You know, I probably wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for Mel Karmazin. I don't know if I would have done it if it wasn't for Howard over there. Not that I was a Howard listener prior. We do. But, you know, Imus was gone at that point. But, you know, it's a very tough call. As it turns out, I think I may, you know, first couple of years were tough. I think it was good for Mike because Mike could show that he could do it. High ratings without me. And I needed a different challenge. So I think overall, I think we made, you know, it was the proper decision for the both of us. And I'm telling you right now, I think it added to the intrigue. I think the fact that I left and Mike stayed and people didn't even care about me those first 4 or 5 years. But when Mike and I got back together again, did the Radio City thing, you know, I did some fan stuff with him when we got on the air together in 2009 at Yankee Stadium before a Yankee and Angel game.
We went to a playoff game together.
That's
where
you there? Yeah, CC pitched that day.
Yeah.
I think that really added to the mystique. So in a lot of ways, I think it added to it, and it's fun—a funny kind of way. So
I think if
you ask Mike, he'd tell you the same thing.
But if
it was a good move at the time.
But if the relationship was better at the time, you wouldn't have left.
Probably wouldn't have left. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Well, you know, we got a little stale.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have left.
Was there talk about splitting you up? Mornings, Mike afternoon. So
they
it was
may,
either.
Well, there may have been a little bit of that because that was when Imus left, and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do.
They approached you.
It was the summer before that. And then they brought Craig and Boomer in in September.
But weren't you
so
interested?
That was the summer of 07 with Imus, was it not?
Right.
And
you
I left in 08.
But I thought you were interested in doing mornings, unless that was just a rumor. I thought you were kicking that around
a little bit. They didn't want to do that.
Okay, got it.
Now, if they thought that maybe that would have kept me there, maybe they would have thought of it. I'm not sure if my act would have worked in the morning, though.
Well.
Because I would have done a straight sports show, and Craig and Boomer had a little different feel.
Yeah, they had
so
a great
I'm not
show.
Sure if it would. I'm not sure if it would have worked. Because I would have probably tried to do it along the lines of the same thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it would have worked. I mean, I think all in all, it was the right move for me, and it was the right move for him.
Thank you, Doggy.
You got it, boys. You're the best.
Love you.
Thanks,
man. Chris Russo.
Chris Russo. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It is a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers against Colorado at Yankee Stadium Friday, August 23rd. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And the fan. Get in on the action with Jackpocket, America's number one lottery app. New customers, your first Powerball or Mega Millions ticket is free when you download the Jackpocket app and use code radio. Don't miss your free chance at winning millions on the all-in-one lottery app, Jackpocket. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. 18 or older, void where prohibited, promo code required. $2 credit, terms at jackpocket.com/TOS/free-ticket-promo.
All right, Sal, let me tell you about what's going on this weekend with the Big Three. Watch it this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS TV. It's the Big Three Championship weekend. Tip it off from Boston's TD Garden. Watch Gary Payton's bivouac and Michael Cooper's Three's Company battle it out for the Dr. J Championship Trophy. That's this Sunday, 3 Eastern, live on CBS TV. Ice Cube's Big Three Basketball Championship game from Boston's TD Garden. Watch all the action live again at 3 p.m. on CBS TV and on X around the world. Big Three Basketball, a sports extravaganza like no other.
All right, BT, Fanatics Fest is here. It's at the Javits Center, New York City, obviously, today through Sunday. And so is PSA's tradition for authenticating and grading the hobby's finest. There's going to be a merch store where you can get all of your PSA swag and learn from the best in the business with PSA's Hobby Workshop. Actually, it's not too far from where we are right now. For over three decades, PSA has been the industry standard when it comes to authenticating, grading, and preserving your most valuable sports and TCG cards. By grading and authenticating your collectibles with PSA, you can greatly increase the value of your collection. And now, new grading customers can use code SAL25 to get $25 off their first submission with PSA. Learn more at psacard.com/WFAN. The decision is easy. If you're in collecting, you know this. PSA graded cards, they outsell the others in 9 of 10 sales. It's the reason 5 out of every 6 collectors choose to grade with PSA. So don't miss PSA at Fanatics Fest. Coming to the Javits Center here right now, today through Sunday. Visit psacard.com/WFAN to learn how to use code SAL25 to get $25 off your first submission with PSA. All right, BT. Whew. It has been a whirlwind here so far at Fanatics Fest live at the Javits Center, and it has been an absolute blast. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. How fun was that?
That was awesome.
Talking to the Mad Dog.
It's one of my highlights here, honestly, I think it might be number one. I mean, we've had some crazy moments, you know, things that have gotten written about, things that have gone viral, you and I, but to be able to sit down with Chris Russo and
on the fan,
I mean, on the fan with us as a hosting and him as a guest, I mean, I've always loved, like, really, you know, without Chris, you know, Mike is different, and without Mike, Chris is different, and, you know, Frances is amazing, but to me, Mad Dog, Mad Dog was the one that pulled me in.
I was always drawn to his personality.
His wackiness, yeah. His unpredictability, just zany, crazy. Love him. And, you get the sense that he respects what you and I are doing. Like, yeah. Even though he doesn't work for the fan anymore, he still wants the fan to sound the right way. And he said some nice things to us, so it really meant a lot.
Yeah, and he's a legend. And now we got to get the big guy on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, listen, I know. I'd love to have Mike on.
I know.
Seems like it's going to be a little tougher.
But that is a thrill to be able to talk to, for us guys who grew up listening to Mike and the Mad Dog, to be able to have those guys on or become friendly with those guys. It was great. So we do appreciate his time, and he gave us a bunch of time here.
He did.
Talk some New York sports. I'm not surprised he didn't know about Tua.
I was a little surprised at that.
I mean,
it's not like, I don't even think he knew her from 3 or 4 months ago.
That's what I'm saying.
One thing that he didn't know that she, I mean, well, first of all, I don't want to start taking knocks at Chris, but how do you not know that you threw out the first pitch? Because it was written, but then again, he's doing national.
Yeah.
So, and it was written about everywhere, so that surprised me. And then not to even know about the Hawk Tua phenomenon, if you could even call it that, from 4 months ago, that really did surprise me. But that's what makes him Chris.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes him the best. And if you ask him, how many, who caught the touchdown, game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl, in the first Super Bowl, he'd know
it. Yeah. Or the 13th seed at the Australian Open, in tennis. He knows that as well.
He is funny. And he has found himself in some hot water, but that's what happens when you get all that attention. He's
the best. How about him with the gummies and the vape? And he's just totally changed. He's living his best life.
Who would have thought that
I want to hang out with Mad Dog. Forget about get him on the show. I want to party with Mad Dog. Woo!
BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Abe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Abe?
Hi, guys. First off, I want to give a shout-out to Kingston, who called earlier, especially for calling in. I have to get that in.
Yep. So, awesome young man. That was great.
It was. It's nice to listen to. Anyway, I'm a Yankee fan here, but, I'm kind of observant, about the Mets. My old man likes the Mets. He follows them. I hear it. I listen to the radio. My opinion, is I don't think that we have given Cohen the credit, because I think a year like this, under the Wolpons, they wouldn't even be here. And I think that in a sense, it's the Steve Cohen effect, because they won't look what they did in the offseason. They didn't get their stars. They didn't get the free agent. It happened. But I want to hear what you guys think of that, basically. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think Steve Cohen, and thank you for the call, Abe. I think Steve Cohen is got to be proven here to be a better owner with this Mets team moving forward. I think his intentions are in the right place. And when I say that, BT, I mean all you can ask for as a sports fan is that the team that you root for goes out there and does everything possible to put the team in position to contend at the highest of levels. And I firmly believe Steve Cohen has done that and is doing that. This year it feels different because it has been a little bit of a step back, but I really believe it's a step back for 3, 4, 5 steps forward. That's why I still believe that they're going to land Juan Soto. However, it's frustrating to go through the year when they're, acting less than. It's still frustrating to wait for the build-up and the prospects and hope that these guys pan out and know that the Mets aren't as good as the Phillies or the Braves or certainly the Yankees. So it is frustrating, but I do think ultimately Cohen is the guy to get them on the right track. It's just been a rough learning curve here for the first 4-plus years.
Well, let me just focus on this year for a sec. So, if I told you, and I know how you felt back in March, but if I said, all right, Sal, boom, let's hit the button, parachute into mid-August here, and the Mets will be, I think they're 62-59, whatever they are, but it's a couple of games over 500, you'd be thrilled.
Right.
But the perspective of the season, the highs and the lows, and what they did or didn't do with the trade deadline, and how some of their best players haven't played well, I don't really think Met fans are happy right now, and they shouldn't be. But I think that they would have absolutely, maybe not gleefully accepted or signed on for. But if I said in March to every Met fan, here's your record, April, whatever today's 16th, August 16th, what Met fan's not taking that?
But that I said the playoffs would not do anything for me.
I didn't understand.
In the beginning,
but
this is why. In the beginning of
but
the
you're not
year,
in the playoffs.
I know that. But even if they were, they're not legitimate. There was a point where I thought, hey, anything's possible. But now I've come back to reality and realized that it's not possible. We saw the Diamondbacks and Phillies do it, and it could happen. But the Mets aren't built well enough to do that. They would have had to make significant additions to the deadline. They did not do that. So I wouldn't have been happy with just getting in the postseason to begin with. So like this was the best case scenario, that they were going to be a team that could hover around 500 and contend for a wild card spot. I'll tell you this, I'll enjoy beating the Braves. If that happens and the Mets leapfrog the Braves to get a postseason spot, that to me would be good. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls when we come back. Also, we got to get into that baseball conversation, BT, about the six-inning potentially, you know, starter rule that could change the game if it happens.
I mean, there's, you know, things that leagues kick around that are interesting, and then there's things that leagues kick around that are radical, and this is more the latter. And I actually do like it, but it's nuts, man. Yeah, we'll get to that coming up here. All right, football season's obviously approaching. Time to jump in on the early fun with FanDuel, jumping on some of the NFL future bets market. FanDuel obviously have tons of different options, player props, passing yards, TDs, rushings, receiving totals, and a whole lot more. Also, you can make the playoffs here, bet on that, who's going to win division, Super Bowl matchups, also parlay different picks for even bigger payouts. So don't wait here, guys. The season is rapidly I love the Jets over. I love it. I might even like the Giants over. I'm not exactly sure yet on the Giants, but I think we're going to go heavy on the Jets here, Dove, and let's see how that goes. Anyway, this season is coming, so it's almost time to jump in. New customers get $150 back in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. No better place to jump in on the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sports book, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and WFAN. Just visit FanDuel.com/BT. Sign up today. FanDuel's the official partner of WFAN, as I said. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.